Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to
I have a strange story podcast. Oh, same old story. We'll never get that right.
I'm so confused because when we do it together, it sounds like we're doing it together. But when we listen to it, we're not.
I don't ever feel like we're doing it together.
Okay. Well, welcome to I Have a Strange Story. This is a podcast where two sisters retell people's strange and paranormal experiences. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you like our show, please rate and subscribe to us. We also have a YouTube channel where you can watch our videos of the podcast. Ooh, and then we're available to also just listen to. Is there anything else I need to say?
Yeah, and send us your spooky stories. If you have an experience that you want us to retell, send it to ihaveastrangestorypodcast@gmail.com and we will read it on the air.
Yeah, that's like the number one thing we need is your stories. Oh man. Okay, well, let's get into it. Do you want to start with your announcement or do you want me to do mine first?
Yeah, I can tell you about my announcement. So
okay.
I know, you look really excited about it. So, some interesting things have kind of happened in my house. Nothing really alarming, and I don't really know if I should talk about it that much, but I'm here, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. So, like,
okay.
The other day, I was cleaning up, and I have this little nook for the cats that is like a cute little princess, like reading window nook thing. And mm-hmm. I opened up the curtains. It's very fairy tale. Like I opened up the curtains okay. and like there was these toys that I had put away and they were sitting on the thing and like okay. not used. And I have a, my cat Corbin Dallas is very active and the toys were just sitting there. They weren't moved or anything like that. And so I was like, okay, I don't remember doing this, but we're just going to go with it. And it's kind of like that, like, you think back in your head, like, did I put these there or didn't? But I'm pretty sure that I didn't put those there. So there was that. And then the other thing is that I'm cleaning out my kitchen cabinets. And I used to have my cat's food in this kitchen cabinet. And I took it out. And there were some little bits of, like, cat food. There was not a little. There was a lot of little just stray pieces of cat food. And I just remembered, like, in my head, I need to clean that up. And then I went to go clean it up, and it's gone.
Okay, the cats ate it.
Okay. We can just,
it's my only explanation.
We can just say that the cats ate it. That's totally
fine.
Could
they have eaten it? Could they have gotten to it and eaten it?
Okay, so one of my cats could have. Like,
okay.
In the perfect conditions. It's the cabinet underneath. Underneath the cabinet is where I put my clean dishes to dry. And so there's like a rack there. So it would have to be that the cabinet door is open. There was no dishes there and he got in. But this is the cat that doesn't really like dry food that much. So he's not the type of cat that's going to get into the dry food. My other one would, and she doesn't do that. She can't jump really high.
And you wouldn't leave your cabinet open either.
No. Yeah.
I know.
Ugh. So I've been putting like a little bit of wine out.
Don't encourage it.
This is what I've always wanted.
I'm going to be sleeping on your couch in a month.
You're not going to sleep on my couch. You're going to sleep in my room.
Are you going to sleep in your room with me?
I can if you want me to, but I was going to sleep on the couch. Yeah. Okay, we can sleep together. That's no. totally fine. Okay. Oh.
I am scared of your apartment.
Look, I don't know. I've talked to you about this, and I don't know if I've talked to our listeners about this, but I've always had a really great vibe with my apartment. Like, it just feels like I feel super safe here. I feel like I kind of, and I know this sounds kind of weird, but I do kind of feel like I've always shared my apartment with somebody else. And for a while, Like, I kind of thought maybe somebody lived in this apartment with me. Because I have like a small attic crawl space or something. I've never been up there or anything like that. But if they do live up there, then it must be a difficult life. And if they're cleaning out my cabinets and if they're playing with my cats and that's it, I'm okay with it. But I think that the reason why I have felt like somebody has been in this house with me or in my apartment with me is just because of like, the energy is really fucking good in here. And I know that that's hard to understand whenever I have these strange stories that I'm telling you, but it's just like everybody that's come in here has thought it's got good vibes. And so I think that this is friendly. This is fun.
Okay. I mean, it depends on how you define fun.
I just don't see this as bad. Like, yeah. To me,
That's good. I'm glad. Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, I have a paranormal announcement as well, but mine is a little more like intentional. Mm-hmm. I went on another paranormal tour of the city.
Oh, cool.
I guess a few weeks ago. Like, God, it was over a month ago. It's kind of weird. Wow. But I went on the paranormal tour whenever Ruckus was still with us. And I would strap him to my chest in his little, you know, baby carrier thing. And so that's how he went. Yeah. But so I went on the tour with my friend and my boyfriend. And it was a different experience with Ruckus because he was getting a little emotional and a little restless. And so I had to take him out and like let him, you know, like sniff around and everything. And this was specifically when we got to a park, and I believe it's Washington Square. And this is where the unnamed, like soldier's tomb is, where it has, you know, soldiers they don't know who are buried there, and it has a flame that's always lit. But then also while you're standing there, the tour guide explains to you that it also used to be where they just dumped bodies and buried them. And like, from my understanding, there's like 2,000 bodies buried in that park.
Damn.
It's fucking nuts. So like, while you're standing there, you're like, oh, it's more than just that tomb with those three unnamed like soldiers. Like, it's like 2,000 bodies that you're standing on. But that was the park that Ruckus got really like upset in and like wanted out. And I just let him walk around. And then I was like, I need to take some pictures. Like, I just felt it. And so I just snapped pictures wherever I saw him get a little restless. And then we left that park and we walked to another park. And then Ruckus got just silent and just stared. And he was just staring out. He wasn't looking at the tour guide. He was like staring out at the park. And so again, I was like, well, I'm going to take some pictures. So I took some pictures while we were there too. So I didn't think anything of it while we were on the tour. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything, but I just kept feeling compelled to take pictures. And then Ruckus acted, you know, strange. And so I looked at my pictures the next day, and I think I've sent them to you. And I think if I'm with you, I may point out more.
Okay.
I don't know if you could see everything, but every single picture I took had a ton of orbs in it.
Whoa.
And they were all like the same color. They were all kind of like this blue-green color. And some of them were perfect orbs. Some of them were kind of like smudged that I noticed. And one of them literally looked like a little balloon dog. You know, little balloon dogs,
yes,
that they blow up and twist? One of them literally looked like that on the ground. Like, it looked like a bright blue little dog, like, walking.
That's so adorable. I think you showed me that
one. I know. Yeah. And so, like, it's just... But, like, these pictures were all taken in different places across the city. It wasn't just one place. And how the fuck are there all these orbs that are all this color? You know what I mean? Like, how did they all just magically appear in all of these pictures all across the city? Like, it's fucking weird.
Philadelphia is an old, like, fucking old city with, like, lots of history. So it's
like
fucking
the oldest city.
Yeah.
I know. It's like the oldest city in history. Like, and so this leads me to my, like, what I wanted to talk about today.
Okay.
Because like, it got me thinking, and I was like, okay, this place is like so fucking old. Well, okay, old and established United States, right? And a lot of shit has happened here. There's been, you know, a lot of battles, the bloodiest battle ever, like Gettysburg was here. You know what I mean? Like, there's been a lot that's happened here. And I was like, gosh, there's just so much like pain and everything. And it made me think, I thought to myself, like, could Philadelphia be a portal? And then I was like, what's a portal? Like, I don't know what I was thinking that whenever I was looking all this up, but like, so it, what's kind of crazy though also is that I found out that portals are not studied.
Okay.
And all we do is just kind of loosely define what a portal is. And so you and I talk about them all the time, but basically what I found, are a couple of theories to kind of explain maybe why some areas appear to be more haunted or more paranormal, have, you know, more paranormal activity than other areas. And it led me to something called, God, I hope my handwriting isn't going to lead me astray, because this looks like it says the stigma theory, which woo, I don't know if that's right. But basically the idea is that events change with trauma. So, through like death, conflict, murder, et cetera, if there's a strong emotional repercussion, if something happens in a certain area. So it's kind of like the idea where a spirit is tied to something, right? When there's something emotional, but it also kind of reminded me of a residual haunting where the energy is so strong when something happens and then the energy just repeats over and over again. Right. But that's kind of what the explanation was that I found for portals. Another theory is called the stone tape theory. And that talks about how trauma is recorded into the rocks or into the earth. And so that makes a lot of sense too. It's the same thing, something traumatic being recorded over and over again. And then I think you've talked about this before, leg lines.
Ley lines?
Oh, good. I'm glad you know what my handwriting is. It's ley lines. And so these are geographical lines that are drawn between historical structures and like landmarks, right? Mm-hmm. That connect everything together. So they connect energy points throughout the globe, and they represent like a natural current. So if we think of like the Mayans, the Incas, the Egyptians, they built everything on ley lines.
Yeah.
And so you have to consider like what is the possibility that these areas have, you know, this energy that these ancient cultures were able to like thrive on. So it's alleging that it could be like a super conduit for paranormal activity if it's on a ley line. So then I was like, is Philadelphia on a ley line? But I couldn't really find anything. So then there's the idea of a multiverse, which is that it's not spirits of the deceased, but really a version of people from another multiverse.
Oh, cool.
Whenever we encounter, you know, spirits or whatever. And like, I totally believe that. I think that could totally be what happens, right? And so I was thinking, so what are the most popular portals that people talk about? So portals aren't studied. We don't really know what they are, but we do say there's certain landmarks that have a lot of activity that go on. And so those include Gettysburg, Salem, Massachusetts, which I think is really interesting, because I don't think that a ton happened there, but whatever. Roswell, New Mexico, Skinwalker Ranch, and then something I'd never heard of, Sedona, Arizona, which we kind of had this conversation right before the show started, which is kind of weird because Becky was talking to me and she was like, I was going to do something on Sedona, Arizona. And I was like, oh my God, I am doing it. It's so weird.
That's crazy. This is the first time I think that we've ever like, I mean, it didn't happen, but we had the same idea.
Exact same idea. Yeah. I bet yours would have been better. You would have been like a ley line and not a leg line in front of everybody to fucking hear you not be able to read your own handwriting. So in Sedona, Arizona, they talk about a vortex phenomena. So it's like an energy vortex. So people feel heightened spiritual energy whenever they go there. Like they feel tingling, they feel vibrations, and they feel like a lot of peace whenever they're, whenever they're there. And I was like, well, I want to fucking go.
I know.
How
me too.
Crazy is that? That people actually report that, that it's documented that in this location, people feel this way. And there's also a lot of UFO sightings. There's a lot of ghostly apparitions, a lot of spiritual encounters. there's also reports of like angels and other like unworldly like entities that are reported there and seen.
Wow.
And then there's also a lot of mysterious disappearances, which I think that goes along with like the missing 411 and like parks and everything. So I did happen to get a story from a girl who went to this location, to Sedona, Arizona, and she was going on a hike with her friend. So the story is like from 2021. Mm-hmm. And she went to the base of Bell Rock in Sedona. She said it was a beautiful day. It was cloudless. There were a ton of people around and it was like 65 degrees. So they started walking close to the mountain and then she started to notice like waves of energy projecting from the mountain. Like she physically saw it. She saw what she described as like small zigzag black lightning bolts of energy that were just coming off the top of the mountain. And it was so like obvious to her that she stopped her friend and she was like, "You see that, right?" Mm-hmm. And her friend looked up and was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And there were some people around her who overheard it and they were like, "Hey girl, like we don't see anything. There's nothing there." And she was like, "This is just kind of fucking crazy." So they sat down on a bench because she was like, "I just need to take a minute to myself." So she sat down to meditate. And she says that she sat with her legs cross-legged, closed her eyes, and just kind of aimed her face up towards the sky and started to meditate to relax. And in her entire field of vision behind her closed eyes, it was just filled with vibrant shades of pink. And she said that it was just so beautiful and that she squinted her eyes open just to see like what was around her. Cause she also kind of started to see shadows, like maybe people were walking in front of her or something was being waved over her face. Mm. But when she opened her eyes, there was nothing there. And she was like, "Oh my God." So she closed her eyes back. And there was nobody nearby. And she believes that she was feeling like the vibration and healing energy, because after she was done meditating, she felt like so refreshed and brand new and re-energized. And she truly believes that there was like healing powers while she was there that she could see, and that even with her eyes closed, she was seeing it and it was in the shade of pink. So that was her story from Sedona, Arizona. And I really want to go now.
Me too.
I'm going to lay down on those fucking rocks.
Hell yeah.
Just gonna flat lay across them and beg the gods to fucking do something for me. Jesus.
Somebody.
Somebody help me. But I'm not gonna want to hike too far because, as I admitted to you, I fucking hate hiking. Yeah. I'm just gonna go to the entry and lay down and get back up. I need to have like the car like an eyesight, okay, for myself.
Yeah. God. Yeah, you know, it's fun because like I said, I did the exact same research as you did on Sedona, Arizona. And so I'm so glad that I abandoned it. I'm so glad that you picked it up. But what I also heard, and I don't know if you saw this too, but like there's different types of vortices. I think that's what it's called, plural, but a lot of people just call them vortexes. Uh-huh.
Vortex.
There's like a negative and a positive vortex. Do you know about that?
I don't think I came across that.
So the negative and the positive is like if you go and it's per mountain or vortex where these things are. So I think they call some of them mountain, like Bell Mountain, and there's like Airport Mesa or something like that. And I can't remember, or airplane, I can't remember what the other ones are called. But if you go to like a positive one, that one is like going to fill you with like creativity and inspiration. And then if you go to the negative one, that's more of like an internal introspective type of energy. So you think about what you need to do in your, I don't know. Introspecting.
I mean, fuck that shit.
I know.
It's like, nah, I'm going to go the other
therapy.
One.
It's what I'm already doing, so.
I judge myself enough every day, you fucking negative, like, energy. I'm going to go to that positive one.
I know,
one.
Right? I know. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Super cool. I want to go to Sedona, Arizona. Does your friend live in Sedona, or she lives in Tucson?
She lives in Tucson.
Ah, oh, damn.
Yeah, all but right. We could go.
Yeah, that's yeah. true. Anywho, that's what I got. That's what I brought to the table today.
I love it. Yeah, I can't wait to do this with you.
I know, it's going to be mm-hmm. fun.
Yeah.
And I told you I was drinking a beer. I was a little scared about it because I went to a bar the other night and I always choose beer. This is just a fun thing for me. Maybe I'm not going to talk about that actually, but I chose a beer that I thought was going to be really good. And it ended up basically just being like maple syrup. Is like, it was just thick and sweet and I had to fake it till I make it. You know what I mean? So I was like, it's good. Cause like I was going to be cool and everything. And I drank the whole damn thing. And so I got another beer that's kind of dark like it. And I was like, please don't,
please don't be
sweet. Please don't taste like that. But it doesn't, it's actually good
for you. I'm glad you, you went out with a bang, but yeah, once you're bitten, you're twice shy.
Why do you do that to me every time I get a drink?
Sorry.
Oh dear. So what story do you have for us today?
So today I have a near-death experience.
Oh yeah, you already told me that. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah.
I love near-death experiences.
I know. It's pretty interesting. This comes from a person on Reddit, and she said that she is a mom. She was on vacation. She was in Jamaica. And just like all of us girlies, she went to the pool, nothing to eat, nothing to drink.
You got to look good. I know.
And she said it was hot as fuck. And she laid by the pool. Yeah. And her husband is like, come on, let's get up and go. This was after hours of like chilling. And she stood up and she said that she started seeing spots. She got really lightheaded. Aww. And then she just kind of, she fell. And her husband is like, what's going on? And she's like, losing consciousness at this point. And so what I'm proposing is that she had a heat stroke. And she's like, they're like putting her in the ambulance. She's on her way to the hospital. Unconscious. And what she remembers though is just being like going into the light and feeling excellent and just wanting to be there. And oh God, I'm gonna cry. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna cry. Oh, no. I know. So she said though that she heard a voice and she knew that this voice was her dog that had passed away.
Okay.
I know. She said that this was her soul dog. And she said it was weird because it wasn't like she heard a voice, but she sensed it. Like, she knew that this was her dog. I'm sorry, Lindsay.
It's okay. Keep going.
I'm sorry. Like, I told this woman, too. But anyways, she heard her dog, and she's like, you have to go back. You've got your children. They need you. You got to go back. And so she went back, and she came to, and she said that it felt like she was out for hours, but it only had been, like, a couple of minutes, a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
And she came back. But yeah, she, at first she wasn't going to until she had, of course, her soul dog come out.
I love that. She was like, I'm going to stay with my dog.
I know. And like it got to, the story got to me obviously too, because she said that, she said that her dog died suddenly at just 5 years old. There was no warning or anything.
Aww,
and I was like, I only had my dog for 5 years. That died, Foo. And I felt like that she was my soul dog too. Like, she meant a whole lot to me. And, I like that she described it as like feeling energy, that she knew that it was her dog and it wasn't like a voice, but she knew that it was her dog's voice.
Yeah.
So I feel like I get that. Like, story aside, an amazing near-death experience that probably changed her life. And I think that it's really great that she had some time with her dog that she never would have had she not had this experience before.
Yeah.
I feel like I get it where you can sense energy and you can't hear anything, but you know that something is there. I don't know if you do this. I do this all the time, but I have conversations with myself and like I answer my own questions or I answer a question that nobody has asked me. Like I don't hear it, but I just know that somebody is asking me a question and I'm answering it. Do you get that?
Yeah. I mean, I talk to myself all the time, which is a sign of intelligence, by the way, everybody. And I don't know. I mean, I've even done it when I've lived with people, but I don't do it so much in front of other people.
Yeah, I don't like to do that.
But like when I'm alone, like balls to the wall, like completely like talk to myself. But I also, so one thing I thought of whenever you said that she heard a voice and she knew it was her dog. So it reminded me of two things. I know that whenever you spoke to your pet psychic and you talked about it on the show, you said that they said that Foo had never been a dog before and that was her first time being a dog and she loved it. And so that was the first time that I really started to understand that perhaps they could reincarnate or be something else. And so same thing whenever I talked to my pet psychic for Ruckus and I was like, is he going to reincarnate? Or she told me that he was going to reincarnate and be with me much later, that not anytime soon, but in much later in life. But there's the, they have options because she asked him what he wanted to do. She was like, you can reincarnate or are you going to be with your mom again? And he was like, oh, I would like that very much. He was almost kind of British. She's British, but like, it's funny because every time I would do a voice for Ruckus, it would be British.
Get out of here.
I always used a British voice for him, which doesn't make any sense because he wouldn't be British, I'm pretty sure, but I would always be like, please, sir, I'd like some more, like anytime he was hungry or whatever.
Oh, that's so cute.
So, yeah, but it makes sense that she heard a voice because it maybe reincarnated into something else and could just talk to her. Or maybe the dogs can just talk up there, you know, I don't know. We can completely understand them.
Yeah, it's a different type of language. It's not it's not words so much. It's energy that you're feeling and that you're sensing. And so there's no there's no barrier. So I think that her soul dog was, you know, will always be attached to her and they'll always be together no matter what. And, but they were just in a space where words weren't necessary, where a language wasn't necessary, where you can just sense and know that this is them and this is what you're saying, this is what they're saying, and this is the message that they're trying to get across. I feel like I've had that a lot in my psychedelic experiences too, that like I'm getting information and I'm talking to other characters or other spirits and like, but they're not there and I can't hear what they're like, I can't hear their voice, like I just sense their energy.
The girl's story that I read in Sedona, I was like, this sounds like she was on shrooms, and she wasn't, but it sounded like it, the way that she described it and the colors and the shapes and everything. And that was just from sitting on a fucking rock.
Hell yeah.
I was like, I'm in. I know.
I want to do that. I want to go to there.
I don't think I told you about this. I haven't had, usually when an animal passes, I'll have a dream about them. And I finally had one about Ruckus. Did I tell you about it? It's kind of, I don't know if it's going to make me cry. I'm going to try really hard not to cry because this is a podcast, but because we're recording. The dream that I had about him was, I was desperately trying to get into a new apartment complex and it was still in the city, but it seemed removed. It reminded me more of Austin. Like there were trees everywhere. There was a parking lot, but the inside of the building was like really shitty. And I don't know what I was thinking. And I remember even looking, being like, you want to live here? This is awful. And it was like, while you were taking the tour, you could just walk everywhere and there were people's beds randomly and people sleeping and you would just be in their living room and be like, oh, I'm sorry. But I walked and there was a bed and I looked down at the bottom of the bed and he was laying at the bottom of the bed. Oh. And he was younger.
Yeah.
And I said, is this where you've been? And he like popped up and was wagging his tail. And I said, has she been taking care of you? Cause there was a girl sleeping in the bed. And,
I said, do you want to come? And like, I put my hands out and he like wagged his tail and backed up for me to pick him up. And then I woke up. Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm trying really hard. But I was like, I finally like saw him. Yeah. Like, I woke up immediately and I was like, oh my God, do you realize what that was? Like, it was like he was waiting in a dream for me to see him and like interact with him.
Yeah.
And like, I desperately tried to go back to sleep because I was like, oh, I want to go back and like spend time with him, but I couldn't go back to sleep.
Yeah.
But like, I really felt that's what it was. Cause we talk about, what is it called? I was going to call it like stargazing or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? The theory that I have that when you're sleeping, astral project.
Okay.
Stargazing and astral projection, same thing. It sounds the exact same. But it's like astral projection. Mm-hmm. And like, it was almost like he had done that into my dream and was waiting for me. But he was like young and healthy and he was this sprightly like little... Do you remember when he was young and he was like super...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how he was.
Aww.
It was super nice. Sorry for crying, everybody.
Hey, I think...
It's hard.
I think that this was like... I probably should have told you beforehand what was going to happen at this near-death experience.
It
reminded me a lot of my own dog, and I knew that it was going to, you know, remind you of your dog too. But listen, lady... We love our dogs. We think that it's so great that you got to communicate with them and like, even though the experience was pretty traumatic and but still, like, I think that we would give anything to be able to just feel their energy again and shit like that. So
Yeah,
we get it.
Super
we
cool.
Fucking get it.
Yeah.
So
we're gonna go to Sedona, Arizona.
Yeah.
We're gonna check out the leg lines, as I call them, or maybe the ley lines, as everybody else does. And then, if you almost die, mm-hmm. then you might see your soul animal.
So, I read that story too, Lindsay, and. Because, like,
Which one
that you just said.
The Sedona, Arizona mm-hmm, one?
Because I was going to do the same
okay, cool.
episode as you, apparently. I don't... but she talked about doing sun meditation. Have you ever done that before?
I don't think so.
I used to do it, and I would do it on my lunch break, and I would sit outside, and I would do the same thing. I would sit under a tree and, like, turn my face towards the sun. And whenever I did that, though, I could see people. Like, I could see, like there was a little hole, and then it would get bigger and bigger, and then I would see a person.
I hate that for you. That sounds awful and
weird.
Scary.
Like, I remember seeing a man on a ship, like on a pirate ship or something. And I thought in my head, look at me, and he, like, turned around, and then that was it.
Of course they did.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird. I also think it's funny that you came across the same story and that what you pick out of stories and what I don't.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I probably read that she did sun meditation, and I was like, what the fuck is that? And I was like, you know, she meditated and looked at the sun.
Well, I didn't know it was called that until she said it. And then I was like, oh, I've done that before.
Oh, I just was like, you know, she looked meditated. At the sun.
Yeah.
She sat there.
She breathed.
It's so fucking funny. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's all we have for today.
Yeah.
And... I guess until next time, goodbye.
Bye. Did you stop your recording?